When I first started talking about some of this stuff, when I first came up here, I think this is from May the 5th, 1995. So this was way back in the last century, and I had come to the conclusion that the seed was the Word of God, and the Word of God was the eternal Christ that filled the seed with all His fullness. So I just tried to put it out without causing too much disturbance, what I had come to believe, because I've always been very curious about all this. Not that I doubt what God says. What I doubt is my ability to correctly interpret it. So I pray a lot about it, study a lot about it. And when I feel when I feel good about it, and God doesn't bother me about it, and I keep studying to make sure I haven't goofed up, then I go ahead and present it. Well, you can imagine when I came up here many years ago. I guess I've been up here about 43 years, I don't know, but for sure. But I didn't lie to anybody, but I tried to present it in such a way that it was very understandable without me going into Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 about the Son of God being the fullness of God with all the power in heaven and earth. And so this is the material I was presenting. And I asked questions about it. Robert asked a lot of questions. And that's what I did when I first came up here. And I would ask you a question, and then before you could answer it, I would answer it. The Hebrew guides that we had over there, I had one in particular that I liked. That's what he always did. I liked his style. And when I would start talking to him about the Lord, he would say, "You're hurting my heart." And I didn't know what he meant. I finally figured it out. It bothered him because he was a Jew. And he wasn't even a very good Jew, but he was a Jew. And he believed that there was a God. And he was an excellent guide. And he knew more about Israel than anybody I ever ran into. Did God's seed really change your heart? Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Well, I would go over and talk about John in chapter 14. I'd go back and dismiss Judas from the assembly to make sure that I got the thing in context. And then I'd talk about our hearts. But that which on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. And I would tell people, how come Jesus said that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things? I said, how could this man have an honest and good heart? And how could that be? And I would point out he had to be reborn, rebirthed. I wouldn't go into a lot of technical detail because God wanted me here and I knew it. And so I'd pray and talk to him about it. And having heard the word, here's how I know that I'm saved. Keep it. Now that word keep is kateko. And it doesn't mean that they obey it all the time. Never make a mistake. Because Abraham made a lot of mistakes. And I wondered sometimes where Enoch was for that 36 years that he was not discussed. I wondered a lot of things. It wasn't that I doubted God's word. Lord have mercy, my grandfather instilled that principle in me, and he was a landmarker's landmarker. And there was any question after I got saved that I was saved. There wasn't any question that after I got saved, I understood a whole lot more. So he was a good landmarker, and he taught me well, and I appreciated that. So here's how he got an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, kateko it. It means to value it highly, to put great stress on guarding it, to keep great stress on wanting to more know and know and know and more and more and more and more of it. But it doesn't mean that if you keep it, you can go to heaven. It doesn't mean that. It means you highly value it. Well, it was at that point in time that I came to understand, and when Chuck came down here, I told him I thought it was possible there was a split rapture. Really, I did. But I always wanted to be kind of certain about when it occurred as best I could, and that's been very difficult for me. He said, "Katiko it." Well, I know that before I was submitted to baptism scripturally, I had a lot of trouble with it. And God kept on bothering me about stuff. And finally, one night, I just gave up. And I just believed it. I believed that he was the living Son of God. I believed that he had extended to me his grace. And that I needed to keep it. I needed to value it highly. Well, I thought to myself, I always have. I began to value it highly when I was about 12 years old. And then the rest of the time up until age 23, I couldn't understand why I didn't feel better about it. I was saved, just as saved as I am now during that time period. But finally, after I got saved, I began to understand that I was saved eternally, forever, and I'd believed that before, but I didn't know what I had. But after I got baptized properly and bring forth fruit, and I didn't know that patience had two different meanings. It's equally translated about, most of the time, about 50-50 as either endurance or as patience. And I kept on enduring. I never was separated from God. I don't mean I feel as good about it as possible, but I mean that I sure understood I was saved, and I understood that I wasn't out moving landmarks on people. And when I made a mistake, I ran to God like a frightened child, knowing he wasn't going to send me to hell, and I asked him to save me. So all these things were, I was going on in my mind, and I was trying to think, how can I present this, tell the truth? And I prayed about it to the Lord, and I wanted to just talk about simple salvation, and I didn't want to do what I was doing and go up and down on the screen when I told him what I believed about the rapture. And I finally found some people that believed what I believe. And Brother Brooks was one of them. And so I began to change. So did God's seed really change your heart? I mean, it did. And I didn't realize that when I got baptized, why I understood so much is because I obeyed the Word, the living Word. And he was in me. And he was teaching me. And I just didn't understand it. But I finally came to understand it. Okay, let's go on to the next one. I began to bring forth fruit. We come into the world totally depraved. I was told all my life when I was a missionary Baptist and growing up in a landmark church, I was totally depraved. I didn't have any problem with that. Even at age 7 or, you know, I didn't have any problem with that. I knew I was totally depraved. In body and soul, because I was descended directly from my forefather Adam, the first Adam, which God made a living soul by breathing in his nostrils the breath of life. I didn't have any problem with that. Man, I knew that I was desperately wicked. And then God began to teach me. He said, "I, the Lord, search the heart." Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." Who controls you? Do you try to control yourself? How much confidence do you have in yourself? He said, "Even to give every man according to his ways." "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways." That's why Jesus told Thomas, And that's why Jesus told, oh, good gravy, the two disciples that came out, and he talked to both of them, and he said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try to his reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Jesus told Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, the more I thought about that, the more I thought, something here I'm not interpreting properly. And so I came to realize that when I put my neck into the local church, and I put my desire to please God first, that when I was doing that, I was so happy. Man, my yoke was easy and my burden was light. But the fruit of his doings, however, every time I would, think about a woman the wrong way or anything like that, I think, Lord, am I really saved? And then I would come back to the fact that I had to be. And I was, and I continued. Okay. This is Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No, just go right on that one. Romans 10:17. Well, take your time. We're in no hurry. He says, then, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more I continued in the word of God, I knew I was saved, but I couldn't understand why I'd put my neck in the yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And so I knew that was true. And I knew that Paul had a reason for saying that he knew that the law was spiritual, but he said, I am carnal, sold under sin. And he went on to talk about it in the next chapter, and then it made sense, and I understood it. He had been crucified with Christ before, when he accepted it. And when he accepted God's offer by grace. I'm not saying Paul understood that it was by grace, but Paul finally got the point. And it took me a lot longer time to get to the point that I heard the word of God, and all of a sudden something happened in my life. And I began to realize that I needed something else besides being saved. Oh, I was saved, and I knew I was saved. But I began to continue. That's what you happen. That's why they used to call us seekers sometimes up in the area where I was, but we were just landmarkers. Okay, Terry. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Paul went from house to house. And when he went from house to house, he preached repentance toward God. Oh, what's that? That's grace. Well, who's God? Paul believed in God. And Paul preached repentance toward him. But he said, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is dead, being alone. Well, after I began to try and understand myself through the yoke and the teachings of the Lord, the word of the Lord itself, Jesus himself, I began to see what a rotten character I was. And I even looked down my nose sometimes at other people because they weren't landmarkers. And so I began to realize, friend, there's something wrong here. And you better wake up. I don't know exactly what it is, but something's wrong. Well, nothing was wrong except I'd put my neck in the yoke and I hadn't sat down and weighed the cost. I'm one of those that found out the cost afterwards. But I was called, and so I continued in the faith. Off and on, gone again, Finnegan. And then go ahead, Terry. 17 through 20. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James wasn't saying, I was saved by works. Not saying that at all. He said, I'm saved because the works that I present are the works of faith that Christ works in me. You say, well, he didn't say all that. Yeah, the Bible says that. You have to take the whole thing. And you know that Paul said he was the chief of sinners. You say, well, he was just speaking figuratively. No, that's what he thought. And that's the way he looked upon himself. But did he show his faith by his works? Absolutely. I'm still here in this church. I've shown my faith. I've shown it. Well, do I know what my faith is? I learned it in the yoke. I learned in the yoke that Christ manifests what he is in me. And I will show you my faith by my works. You say, well, those are your works. No, they're my submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I finally realized, if I'm going to serve him and I'm going to manifest him, then I better start doing what he said. And God called me to preach, and here I am. He says, there believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, he says in verse 19, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There is no such thing as a dead faith. There is no such thing as a dead faith. And that's what he's talking about. You say, well, a lot of people come to church and they're not saved. They don't ever realize it. And they try to do the works in the Bible. And they're very devout Christians. They come every Sunday. And if they have services on Wednesday night, they come in. And they come all the time. And they're working like they can, as hard as they can, hoping that they will be counted worthy. Well, that's a vain man. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There's no such thing as a dead faith. Faith is alive. And whenever you receive God's grace and believe it, and you come to him and repent of your sins toward God, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what that means. And there you are, he saves you. Okay, what happens then? You don't have a dead faith. You have a living faith when you come to him. Because you have to come to the Father through the Son. And in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, go ahead. John 5, 40, 24, and 3 is 36, and 1 John 5, 11 through 12. And you will not come to me that you might have life. There's a lot of people going to church. And they sit there, and I'm talking about in a church building. They come, they sit there, and they work. They're faithful in coming and sitting and listening and praying like mad that they will get out of there without being convicted. In any case, verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. Hath is a present indicative active. I know you all got tired of hearing that, but that's very important. Hath everlasting life. Believeth he that believeth my word, who is that? Jesus. And believeth on him that sent me, who sent him? I've gone through that, and we know who sent him. But is passed from death unto life. That's when I got saved. It's when I accepted his offer of grace. You say, well, you didn't even know he was offering his grace. Well, I knew something was bothering me. And I finally just gave up. And I knew I was never going to be able to please him. And I just threw my hands up in the air and in my heart. And I just came to him and trusted him to save me. I didn't have any other choice. I had a choice, I guess, not to. But the Word of God meant a lot to me. I was taught that when I was young. And I believed it. And finally, I began to understand it when I finally decided to live for him. Most people in a church come to the church and sit there and sit there and sit there, and finally something happens that makes them come down the aisle. Maybe it's because a friend went down. That happens a lot of time at youth camp. Maybe it's the fact that their parents were bothering them about it. Whatever it is, I came the right way. Hopeless. I just came without any power of my own, and I just didn't know what else to do. And he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, I did, hath everlasting life, present indicative active. And I was taught what hath meant. And I began to look up the Bible and check all this stuff out. And shall not come into condemnation. I will never go back under the condemnation of God. It's a one-way trip. But it's passed from death unto life. That's when I got saved. I was passed from death unto life. You say, did you understand all that? No, I just knew that God gave me a great relief. Now, that relief isn't what I based my salvation on. But it is what gave me an understanding that the Word of God was Jesus Christ. And in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I'd been trying to work and please Him, and I couldn't because I wasn't saved. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You know, that word see, if you look up the Bible, I think there's about, I may be wrong about the number. I'm getting old and I forget stuff. I never thought that would happen to me, but it has. Shall not see life. There's about 12, 13 words translated see. This one means that shall not see life. It means this. A teacher puts something on the wall and he says, 2 + 2 to some young fella that doesn't know a lot, or a girl, whatever. 2 + 2 = 4. And you know, you've learned that, and you say, oh, I see. Doesn't mean you visibly observe it. It means that you see, you understand. What I'm teaching you, I came to understand. You say, who taught you? The Lord. You say, well, you think you're divinely inspired? No. But I think Jesus is God. And I believe that when I came to Him after having repented toward God, the one that had been bugging me to death, then I was birthed again, resurrected from the dead. And I was saved. And ever since then, I've understood that, and it's given me a great deal of comfort. But after that, I began to realize, and I studied those scriptures about sitting down and counting the cost. And I realized I hadn't counted the cost. But I asked myself, have I counted the cost? Yeah, I had. You say, did you know you were doing it? No. But I came to know it. Who taught me? The Lord. And I couldn't find any rest or any peace until I began to try to follow Him like I should. And I began to understand that in that yoke, I was taught by Him. And I believed in the Son. And I believe that in the power of God, He had all power in heaven and earth. He says, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And I understand life now. I understand it. You say, well, I can talk you out of it. Don't bother to try it. But the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God has been removed from me. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. That's the record. That God hath given to us eternal life. John, 1 John 5:11-12. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He'll never understand it. I understand it. You say, well, boy, you're pretty smart. No, God's smart. And God taught me, and he had a dumb student. And it took a long time. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I have the Son of God. He lives in me. He works in me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. You say, who taught you that? God. Now, there's a lot of things that I would like to understand better. And these are some of the things. Is that the second one, Terry?
I got the second one. That's the first one.
Okay, let's go on to the second one. So, I learned one thing from Chuck and his brother. I try to not go over, and sometimes I let people out early.
This is not easy.
When I'm not breathing. Has the seed made you into a good tree? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. There's a lot of people that sit on church pews, and unfortunately some of them are missionary Baptists, who are corrupt trees that outwardly produce leaves, are perhaps Mongols, I don't know, but they can't bring forth good fruit. They can't bring forth good fruit because they don't value the word. They don't want to know more about it. You know why I want to know more about it? God. You know what God taught me? That he had given full power to his son. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the living son of Almighty God, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You say, who taught you that? The word. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Well, if a good tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That's just Matthew 7, 18 through 21. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know me. You see me all the time. You have the right to judge me. Do you think I bring forth good fruit? You say, well, Brother McMurray, you make a lot of mistakes. Amen. You say, Brother McMurray, there was a time when you weren't a very good pastor. Amen. You say, well, when did you become a good pastor? When I finally figured out I needed to let the Lord pastor the church. I needed to pray for you all more. I needed to care more for you than I did. And I woke up and I said, I am totally depraved. And every fruit tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Chuck helped me a lot on this because I do believe in some places in the Bible where it talks about existeriosotos, that it may be talking about somebody that just lives outside the gate. But I know that this means what it says. I have to be capable of bringing forth good fruit. And the Lord is the only one who can make me capable. I can't make myself capable. It's impossible. So what did I do? Why was I bothered? Who bothered me? The Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, wherefore by thy fruits ye shall know them. My responsibility is to pastor this church. Have I done well? I don't think so. You say, well, did you at one time think you were doing a pretty good job? Yes. You say, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to try to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to try to do better. You say, well, what happens if you don't do better? God forgives me. I keep running back to him. He bothers me all the time if I don't do what I think is his will. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. What's he going to reward me for? I mean, you say, well, you're just doing it because he wills it in you. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people don't want to do that. You say, well, why do you do it? I learned it. And when Chuck came down here and he got to talking about it, different things, and these people that in the church that weren't really saved, then I thought about it more. And I thought, well, I think that's probably the split rapture. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what is that? It is not God's will that any should perish, that the soul should come to repentance. How many people in the church came to a church and a preacher was really good at what he did? I know I can think of one preacher. He almost got me down the aisle one night. Most talented fellow I ever saw in my life. He could get a wild mule down that aisle. And many times he got people down that aisle, and he just kept having an invitation, invitation, invitation. I remember one time over at a church on the other side of the river, I used to go over there all the time. And I went to all the meetings and everything over there, and he gave an invitation, and he used 16, he had them saying, "Just as I am," 17 times. And he put on a thing in between. Boy, it was quite a show. And I went to, and I grew up in a church where, and it was a scriptural church, but they always got the hottest revival in the state, the revivalist. And if they couldn't get Corbett Mass, they'd get the next one down. I sat there and listened to puppy dog tales. I sat there and listened to people, "Well, I was coming up here," and he, it was that day, supposedly, or that first day it came, "I was coming up here today, and I saw this young boy alongside the road, and he was hitchhiking, and I put over, and he got in the front seat, and I said, 'Son, you're running away from home, aren't you?' Boy said, 'Yeah.' He said, 'Son, you need to know Jesus.' And he led him to Jesus right there. He lied. But a bunch of people came down the aisle. You say, preachers didn't do that. Yes, they did. I was just a boy, and I wasn't that stupid. But I did believe it for a long time. And this was a scriptural church I was in. It all depended on what kind of a missionary Baptist preacher they got. And some preachers were a lot more interested in keeping their job than they were in pleasing the Lord. And I didn't learn that till after I came, went down, and I went through the seminary and did all that stuff, because I wanted to know, Lord, what do you want from me? And finally, he taught me. You say, well, hey, why didn't he teach you right at first? Maybe it was me. I don't know what it was. I don't care what it was. Whatever it was, he finally taught me. And I know it was me. But anyway, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. When you're born again, I do not believe in soul sleep. But I do believe in carnal nature sleep. And my mother's body is right out there in the grave where it was placed. And so is, and it's Dan. Daniel may still be standing in his lot. But I'm telling you one thing I do know. The soul goes one way or the other. And I will tell you that the carnal nature, he just drops out. Doesn't have any recollection or what's going on till the second resurrection. And I was saved during the first resurrection. And the second resurrection, I won't be there. There'll be two different groups there. Now, I finally told them that, and they at the seminary, and I thought they were going to have conniptions. And I asked them, I said, "Well, don't you think that your mother's body is in the grave?" And, well, yeah. But I said, "Well, you ought to tell people that." In any case, finally, they graduated me, and I got good grades. But I guess I scared them a little. Because I was just, I said, "Look, this isn't right." And I had one fellow come to me and said, "Well, I'm going to write my thesis on it." I said, "Don't do it." I said, "They won't ever accept another thesis from you." I told him, I warned him. And then another one came, did the same thing. And I warned him, I said, "Don't do it." I said, they will never accept you as being a missionary Baptist. And both of them went right ahead and wrote it. He believed Judas Iscariot was a saved man. And anyway, what they believed was crazy, so I don't think I did any harm. Okay, being born again, you must be born again. I was born of the flesh, and my forefather Adam, the first Adam, he was a man who was made perfectly. He didn't have any sin whatsoever, neither did his wife. And so whenever it came time for him to give him someone to live with, he just reached in Adam's side and took out Eve. You say, oh, he took out a rib. No, he didn't take out a rib. The word that's used for in there is for rib is a bib. And that, well, I won't go into all that, but in any case, some tried to use that to make him be a trisexual. And Jesus was never that. The first Adam was never that. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, my soul, when it dies, will go to heaven. You say, when will it be judged? Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of people that have been told in heaven they're going to have to wait until their brethren come up there. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, the second Adam, the last Adam, he was made a quickening spirit. I was born of a quickening spirit when I suddenly realized that I'd never find any happiness unless I did what Jesus said, and that was when he gave me a heart, a new heart, a rebirthed heart, as the quickening spirit. And my life has been one of constantly searching for the truth, and I know the truth, but I'm so grateful about it, I just won't tell everybody about it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There are a lot of people on this earth that I want to help them. I think I understand why the man in the parable why his brother didn't want them to come down there. John Penn once said that he'd been told that was just a parable. And John had told him that its specific names are mentioned. And he said, that proves that it isn't just an illustration. They were real characters. And they argued and argued with John. And finally, John just said, all right, you say it's a parable. What does it teach? They didn't bother him anymore. Matthew 7, 20 through 23. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, sometimes in Matthew, it'll talk about the kingdom of heaven, and other places it'll talk about the kingdom of God. They're one and the same, which is in heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What was the will of my Father in heaven? It was very simple. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I was a firm believer in God. And I didn't understand what I'm showing you on this screen here, but thank God I didn't have to. Many will say to that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You know, he seems to say all the right words. And then, well, I profess to them, I never knew you. Never is a pretty big word that means just what it says. I never knew you. I'm afraid our churches have a lot of people in it that are going to come up, and they're going to be identified as people that worked iniquity because they taught their own doctrines. They taught their own private words. Now, I'll tell you the truth. During the first 4 years of the New Testament church, there were, and there's one man in the Trail of Blood, the very first one, who actually thought he was the Holy Spirit. And they didn't find this out until they had some archaeological discoveries that to prove that he did think that you work iniquity. Now, John 5:40 and 1 John 5:11-13 tell it the way it is. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. And this is the record. Here comes the record. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God does have a Son. And the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in his Son. And all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. God does extend his plan to man by grace. But you refuse that grace when you will not recognize what you are, a totally depraved sinner, and come to the Son to come to the Father. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. I don't have to worry about having eternal life. I have eternal life. And I don't have to worry about what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to move my neighbor's landmarks. I'm supposed to realize that I'm not the greatest in the kingdom of God. I'm supposed to realize the disciples, Jesus told them, don't do that. And I'm supposed to do what I do, whatever God has called and commissioned me to do, and I try to do it. And when I fail, I run to him like a frightened, helpless child, knowing that he will forgive me. I'm covered by his blood when I was in my mother's womb. When I came out, eventually, he went looking for me and he found me. Here I am. So, I don't know. This is something that you're looking at something on this screen and I'm talking to you about something. And I've tried to present it in an honest and straightforward way without all the technicality of Yahweh and Jehovah. And not that I'm using those names in any way I honor them. I thank God many times. I will continue to. I thank him for just being what he is and who he is. Man, I like Yahweh. And I like Jehovah. I love them. You say, do they teach you to love them? No, they told me that I only loved them because they first loved me. You say, well, what makes that makes you love them that much? I'll tell you what it is. They tell me the truth. They told me the truth. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God tells the truth. It hurts sometimes, but after you mill it around and God works on you a while, you realize that he just told you the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so here I am. I'm happy to see all of you. I'm happy you're here. If this smaller crowd had showed up when I first came up here, I'd have been bitterly disappointed. No, I'm not that way anymore. And you say, well, hooray for you. No, hooray for the Lord, because it's just that way. And I'm finishing early tonight. Not real early. Chew him out going home. Say he didn't go over too much. I didn't go over. Think about that. Okay, Ken, why don't you dismiss us?